Hey everyone, my name's Keaton, and thanks for checking out this message today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Connect to the number 97000. There, we can answer your questions and even help pray for you. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Finally, if you want to support the work we're doing here at the River Church financially, please head to our website, click the Give tab at the top of the page, or you can text the amount you want to give to 84321. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you're blessed by today's message.
So we're back after the picnic, and we're back diving into Scripture, right? We're back diving into that 52 weeks in Scripture, where we're going through the entirety of the Bible, and we are looking at the consistency of God's character, of God's plan, and of His work throughout the course of humanity, right? As He has continued to love us and care for us. One of the things each week, both as we've been going through it as a growth community, my growth community has been going through the Bible in a year, and many other growth communities throughout the church have been doing that. And as we have been going through it in recovery throughout this year, is the consistency that is constantly found in God's Word, right? Time and time again, we see God's Word is building off of itself, right? And sometimes our world tries to say, oh, well, of course it builds off of itself. It's just like, it was just a couple guys who got together in a room and they kind of just wrote it all at one time and they decided what they wanted to be right and wrong. But that couldn't be farther from the truth, right? The Bible was written by many different authors over multiple different languages over thousands of years, right? And if you have ever tried to plan a family get together, you know how hard it is to get a few people to get on the same page, right? And now think about trying to get a few people on the same page over thousands of years, over multiple languages, over multiple continents, right? And then you understand that there's no way that the Bible could be this consistent without God having His hand all over it, right? And so as we've been diving into the Bible throughout this year, one of the specific kind of people or characters that we've been looking at from Old Testament all the way into New Testament is the person of Jesus and the redemptive story of God, specifically in Christ, that we see play out, right? And there has been multiple different circumstances that have pointed us to the forgiveness and love of God, specifically a couple weeks ago when we looked at the story of Jonah, right? And how that was the love of God and how He consistently cares for us. Tonight, we're going to continue to look at the character of Jesus and how the Old Testament gives us a consistent picture of Jesus that we find in the New Testament, how that should really help us to understand who Jesus is to us and what Jesus has done for us and how we should respond in that same way. But let's pray together before we dive into God's Word. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for that time of worship where we sing and we offer praise to You because You alone are worthy. Lord, we thank You for bringing us here this evening. Whatever circumstance led us here, Lord, we thank You that we have breath in our lungs, that we have people who are looking to encourage us, we have a place to go, and Lord, that You love us and care for us so deeply. Lord, we love You in Your precious name, Jesus' name, amen. Open with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. Here, like I said, we're going to talk about pictures of Jesus. And so Isaiah, specifically Isaiah 52 and 53, are these books of prophecy. Isaiah is a book of prophecy. Isaiah was a prophet. He was proclaiming the truths of God that the nation of Israel needed to hear. And specifically in Isaiah 52 and 53, he is laying out the messianic prophecies. And so that sounds like a big word, but the Messiah is the Savior, the Jewish Savior that has come for the world. And so in Isaiah begins to describe who this Messiah or these messianic prophecies, what they're supposed to be. And who, you know, if you're supposed to be looking for someone, you should know kind of what they look like or what they're supposed to be doing, right? If I tell you, if I said, hey, I want you to be on the lookout for someone tonight. And you go, all right, who, right? You'd be like, who am I, what are they wearing? What color hair do they have, you know? Like, what am I supposed to be watching? Like, are they going to do something, right? And so Isaiah is being given this word from God, right? God is proclaiming to Isaiah who this Messiah or what these messianic prophecies are supposed to look like so that as people look, they will recognize the Messiah when he arrives, that they will see who the Messiah is. And so I'd encourage you, we're going to be looking at a specific section in Isaiah chapter 53, but I would encourage you, if you have your Bibles, if you have that red tassel, slide it into Isaiah 52 and read through Isaiah 52 and 53 this week, because it's a very broad picture, but if I were to preach on it, we would be here till next Tuesday, right? And so we're going to really dive into a piece. So I'm going to read Isaiah 53, starting in verse 4, going through verse 6, and then we're going to divide it up into some chunks, but let's read it in its entirety. It says this: surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So there's a lot that this passage says in only, you know, a couple verses here. Some beautiful description of this Messiah to come. Well, we being living in where we are now, right? We have the understanding that Isaiah is describing the Messiah. We know that that Messiah is Jesus Christ. That Savior that we're looking for is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so as we talk about this Savior, we're talking about who Jesus is. And so there's a couple things that we need to understand about who Jesus is, who he is as Messiah, as Savior. And so the first thing that we see is in that verse 4 where he says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We see here that our Savior is one that bears the weight of our hardship. He bears the weight of our hardship. Specifically, Isaiah describes grief and sorrow as one that is bore, that is carried. And I love that description of grief and sorrow as this weight. Right? If you've ever experienced deep sorrow or deep grief or deep pain and hurt, you know that it feels like this weight on you, wherever you go, that it's bearing down on you, crushing you, and it doesn't seem to let up no matter what you do. For some of you, that weight of grief and sorrow maybe the reason you would turn to addiction in the first place. Maybe for you, addiction was a way to get some respite from that crushing weight. Or a way to numb the soreness of your shoulders from carrying such grief and hurt and pain. But what Isaiah says here is that weight cannot truly be taken away by anyone other than the Savior of the world. You may be able to numb it for a time, but guess what? Your shoulders will be just as sore. You'll be You'll be left just as hurting as when you went to numb that pain. And so the only true solution is to give that weight away, offload that weight, give it to someone else to carry that grief and sorrow. Let someone else remove that sorrow, remove that grief, remove that despair, that hurt, that pain from you, and let them bear it on their own shoulders. And he says, there's a Savior. We know that that Savior is Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Now, we jump forward many years, and Jesus is teaching about who he is. He's teaching about what he's come to do. And he teaches and encourages the people around him to do something that seems very familiar to what we've read in Isaiah. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28, it says this: "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." Man, when I hear those words, right? He's come to me, and then he gives this classification: all those who labor and are heavy laden. I'm like, oh, that's me. He's talking to me, right? For you, you may be feeling that same way. Oh, heavy laden, that's me right now. That's me, someone burdened. That's me, someone crushed. That's me, someone defeated. That's me. And he says this: "And I will give you rest." Now, when I hear that, I'm like, whoa, whoa. Does that mean Jesus is going to, like, take my work responsibilities for this week so I can, like, sleep in, right? Is he going to take care of my six-month-old so I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night with her crying, right? Like, what's he going to do so I can get some rest? But he says this, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So here what he says is, come to me, all you are heavy laden. Let me teach you a new way to live. Let me teach you a better way to do things. And if you follow the way that I'm calling you to live, if you follow my example, if you learn from me the things that I teach you and show you the things that my words say, guess what? You will find rest for your souls. Not just your body, your souls. One of the movies and books that I love is Lord of the Rings. You know I'm a nerd, right? And Bilbo, at one point, he's talking to Gandalf, and he says, "I feel like butter spread over too much bread," right? And I love that description, right? Because as much as you think, you know, about someone being tired and dealing with that, right? That is, like, I feel like just a perfect description of sometimes our emotions and our spiritual weight, right? I just feel thin, exhausted, see-through. What Christ is saying here is, learn from me and I will teach you how to find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's times where it may feel like hard work. There's times where you may not understand. There's times where it may seem so different and contradictory to what you've normally done and always done and what you think has worked for you. But guess what? You need something contradictory to how you've lived. Because how you've lived is the reason you're feeling thin. And so Jesus, he calls us to come and to give him what is crushing us. And in exchange, he will give us a new way of restful living. But that means actually taking the trade. That means actually giving him what's burdening us. That means actually sometimes being transparent. That means actually talking about that difficult grief. That means talking about those sorrows, talking about that hurt, laying those down in prayer, laying those down before God's word, and beginning to live out God's word. Contrary to what we do. But what gives us rest for our souls? Our Savior is one who provides us respite, especially in times where we're overwhelmed. The next that Isaiah does is he gives us a description of our Savior as one who has taken our consequences. Right? He describes the way that our Savior has taken our consequences. Look at verse 5 and 6. I'm going to skip a section in the center, but he says this. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Verse 6. And we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen to our role here in this process. We are the transgressors, which means we're the ones who did wrong. We're the ones who actually did the opposite thing that we were supposed to do, right? A transgressor is like the villain, right? So we're the villains. And then he was crushed for our iniquities, which is our shortcomings, our failings, the ways that we have not lived up. And then we were like sheep. And if you don't know, in the ancient world or even today, sheep are very dumb, right? They wander, they get lost, they get hurt really easily, and they have to be led. But we're the dumb ones, right? And I say amen to that, right? We like sheep have gone astray. We turned to our own way. We tried to do what we wanted to do. If we had a desire to do something, we did it. Didn't really think twice. If something sounded good, we did it. And the Lord has laid on him our iniquity. Right? Once again, our shortcomings, our failings. So we see, we are the villains. We are the failures. We are those who have gone astray, chosen our own way over the right way. Now we see what, though all those are descriptions of our sin, right? When you hear churches talk about sin, that's what they're talking about. Sometimes we need to stop and explain what sin is. Sin is anything contrary to God's word or God's character. And so when we choose our own way, when we do things opposite of God, or in a godly way, opposite of in a godly way, we sin. God is truthful. When we lie, sin. God is honest. He does not deceive. He does not take what is not his. When we steal, you know, we can go all these different ways, right? When we do all these things, if anything is contrary to God, his character or who he calls us to be in his word, that is sin. And the consequence of sin is eternal separation from God. Eternity in hell. Death. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual death. The end. We deserve punishment. Paul in Romans calls it, the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness of humanity. So when we live in ways contrary to how God has called us to, the wrath of God is revealed against us because he judges that which does not live up. And so we talk about the way that Jesus saves us, and we think, oh, you know, Jesus saved us by just kind of showing up and loving us and caring for us and just kind of being like, oh, you're forgiven. You know, kind of like when someone apologizes to us and we go, oh, it's no big deal. Right? That's not how Jesus sought our forgiveness. It was not no big deal. For Jesus, he endured torment, physical torment, emotional torment, mental torment, spiritual agony. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Sometimes when we read scripture, we think sometimes that things are very, very figurative. Sometimes things are figurative. But here, it is not figurative. When he says he was pierced for our transgressions, we're going to read in a second, Jesus was pierced. When our iniquity was laid on him, the wrath of God revealed against all unrighteousness, the wrath of God was laid on Christ. So we're going to read this section of Jesus' crucifixion, where he literally did these things that Isaiah described. And I want you to reflect and listen as we read through, or read along with me and reflect and realize Jesus did this so that you didn't have to endure this. Matthew 27, we're going to jump around. I'll let you know where we're going to, but we're starting in verse 27 if you want to follow along. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." And they spit on him. And they took the reed and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Jumping down to verse 33. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but he tasted it and he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. When it says here they crucified him, they pierced his side, pierced his lungs, so they began to fill with blood. Jumping down to verse 45. Now in the sixth hour, there was darkness all over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. He died on the cross. And it wasn't a quick death. Hours of mocking, of pain, of torment, of the wrath of God, the weight of the sin of the world placed on his shoulders. Spitting, beating. This is the lengths that our Savior went to. This should have been us because of our sin. You hear me talk about the depth of our sin and realizing the depth of our sin. This is where the depth of our sin should bring us. But Christ loved us enough not to simply say, "You are forgiven," but to endure the wrath of God, to justify us the right way, so that we could be spared the wrath of God, so that we could be given salvation. our Savior, shows up, takes our consequences, takes our transgressions, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our shortcomings, and our iniquities laid on him, even though we incurred that on ourselves. That's hard. It's hard to listen to, hard to come to grips with at times. As saddening as that is for us to hear the hardship that our Savior went through, it should help us to understand the joy that we should have in the gospel. That Christ went through that and we have been spared. We have been saved. We have been forgiven. And it is so complete because Christ endured the punishment we deserved. You see, one of the beautiful things about this passage is Isaiah describes that our Savior provides us peace with God and spiritual healing. Turn back to that Isaiah passage. Isaiah 53, he's describing these different things, right? He's describing how God has taken, how Christ has taken our grief and our sorrows, and our burden is easy. Then he described for us our shortcomings and our failures and how that led to Christ enduring the punishment we deserve. But he gives us this bright piece here in the end of verse 5. I skipped over it earlier, but it says this. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. See, the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of the crucifixion is, yes, it was horrendous, evil. But they thought that they were defeating our Savior, and in reality, they were bringing us peace. The wrath of God was revealed unto Christ so that we could have peace with God. Because of our transgression, because of our iniquities, we were enemies with God. We were distant from God. We were so far away from God, destined for eternity in hell away from God. And Christ, through what he went through on the cross, brought us peace with God. We have been united with God. We are on the same page with God. We have been made right before God. The things, the evils, the atrocities that we've done have been forgiven us by God, and peace has been made. This is the beautiful picture of salvation. Paul says, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not just exists. Not just as a good guy or a good teacher, but that he is the example that I live by and follow. Jesus Christ is Lord. And believe in your heart that he is risen from the dead, that he's conquered death. That what happened to him on Golgotha would not keep him down. And that we will have salvation. That we will have peace with God. Forgiveness from God. We will be made right with God. But he continues. He says, and with his wounds we are healed. That's one of the most visceral pictures in all of Scripture. The wounds that mar our Savior are what leads us to spiritual healing. We are made right because of what Christ endured on the cross. We can have confidence and know that we are healed because Christ died so that we could be a new creation. That we are brought back to righteousness, that we are brought into his good flock. Turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Peter, he actually references this exact passage in Isaiah when he's talking about Christ. He's talking about the person of Christ and what that means for us as believers, of people who have given our lives to the Lord, follow him, confess with our mouth that he is Lord, believe in our hearts that he is risen from the dead. He says this, 1 Peter 2, 23 through 25. And when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. See, he expounds upon what Isaiah wrote, and he applies that to us as the believers today. He says, those of you who have your wounds healed, those of you who have been saved, died to sin, and have begun to live righteous lives, he says, you were exactly like the sheep that Isaiah described. Dumb, going your own way, doing it your own way, doing things how you thought were best, doing things according to your own ways, your own standards, your own desires, what worked for you. That's how you were doing things. You were a sheep that was wandering, but now that you have received salvation, now that his wounds have healed you, now that your transgressions have been dealt with because he was pierced, he went to the cross, he died for you, you have been returned and you receive this shepherd who is an overseer of your soul. That is Christ Jesus. Tonight you have an opportunity to turn to your shepherd. Those of you who are feeling an overwhelmed and overburdened, a grief, in pain, fearful, thin soul tonight, there is an overseer, a shepherd, who offers you love and compassion and forgiveness. And so tonight is an opportunity to turn and to follow his teaching and follow his example. And tonight you have the opportunity to do that, whether that's for the first time or the 100th time. This message is as important for someone who does not know Jesus as someone who has known Jesus for quite some time. Because there are always periods of life where we feel overburdened, overwhelmed, in grief, in pain, afraid, tired, whatever you want to fill in the blank. And guess what? Jesus is still Savior. He was Savior. He is Savior. He will be Savior forevermore. He is still Shepherd, and he is the overseer of your soul. Able and willing to provide rest, instruction on how to live differently. So tonight, I'd encourage you, tonight is the night to turn to him. We'll have table leaders down front who would love to pray with you. If there's something specifically that you are feeling overwhelming you, or feeling grief from, or feeling in pain from, or feeling afraid of, there'll be table leaders down here who would love to pray with you, who would love to turn to the Lord with you and offer you some encouragement and help you turn to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. But it's important that we recognize his wounds alone are how we are healed. It's not my own ability. It's not Justin's preaching. It's not a self-help book. It's not a program. Only by Christ's wounds, only by the truth of the gospel, only by following Jesus Christ as Lord, are we given rest and are we healed. Let's turn to the shepherd and overseer of our souls this evening. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for what you did on the cross. The mockery, the chastisement, the beating, the death that you endured because of me, because of my sin. Lord, you did that because you loved me. Because you loved each and every person in this room. And because you offer us peace, peace with God. You offer us healing. Lord, I pray tonight for those in this room who are struggling, who are tired, who are beaten, who are weathered, who are overburdened, who are stressed, who are frustrated, who are angry, who are tired, who are afraid. Lord, I pray that they turn to you alone. They would turn to you in prayer. They would turn to you for guidance. They would turn to your word. They would turn to the community of believers that you have given us in the church. Because you alone are able to offer us peace with God and healing. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. We praise you. We follow you. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen.